WSHA 88.9 FM. The show is Straight No Chaser. I'm Susan Reeves here with you until midnight tonight. So glad you've tuned in. As you may recall, I mentioned that we were going to have a very special guest in this 9 o'clock hour, and wanted to start out with the hour with one of her songs. That was Song for Henry from Lisa Markley, who's on the line with us from Dallas, Texas. How you doing, Lisa?
I'm doing just fine. It's pretty hot over here. I imagine it's hot there, too.
I'm so glad you've had a chance to call us this evening and talk to us about your new and your last release and all the things you're doing, because we've so enjoyed your music here at WSHA.
Oh, man, thanks. That means a lot. It's encouraging.
We started out this hour, as I mentioned, with Song for Henry, which is off of your brand new release called One Word, out on Suna Songs. I guess actually before we talk about that song, I should give everyone a little bit of an intro. Lisa is a graduate of the University of North Texas with a degree in music composition. She has been awarded many honors for her songwriting. She's quite the songwriter, and performs with her group, either solo projects, as we've been hearing this evening with her two CDs, as well as in a trio with her husband, Bruce Balmer, as Markley and Balmer. And hopefully there are those listening on the radio tonight who got a chance to hear Lisa and Bruce last year when they played in August over at Marsh Woodwinds, right here in Raleigh itself. We got a chance to hear her live. And so we're delighted to have you on the line with us tonight, Lisa. Hear all about this new release, One Word.
Wow. You know, August was such a blast last year. I wish we could come back through. That was really great.
Well, hopefully it will happen at some point, whether it's this August or at some point in the future.
Yeah, I hear that concert series is doing pretty well. So.
It seems to be. Yeah. So let's give everybody a little bit more intro to you.
Okay.
You have this whole long list of instruments you play. Can you tell us about them?
Oh, you know, I noodle on them. The first instrument I picked up was piano. And I think everybody does, probably, if they're musicians. You know, sometime you're a little kid and there's one in your grandparents' apartment or their house, you know. And then so I did that all through grade school, and I was self-taught. And then in fifth grade I picked up trombone, and that really was what I did all through coming of age. And so when I started playing jazz, it was in these little Dixieland configurations, because that was all the instruments we had, and that would have been junior high. And by high school, we were doing Dixieland until we finally had enough instruments by the time I was a junior to have a full big band. And so I really grew up playing a lot of Count Basie stuff, all those old Sammy Nestico charts, and some Dixielands and stuff, too, in addition to marching band. And eventually, I guess I went to North Texas, and I was still playing my horn. But I picked up the guitar when I was 17, and I was really into songwriting and stuff. So I really wanted to be singing and playing, and I just was too shy.
Oh.
So I hid behind my horn for a long time and just sort of played in my room and sang with all my record albums, whether it was Sarah Vaughan or Paul Simon, or copying trombone solos off my Chicago albums, you know. I was very much a bedroom player, and eventually got out of North Texas with a degree in composition, which I think was really great for, you know, my ADD kind of personality, because every time I hear somebody play an instrument well, I'd want to play that instrument, and when you compose, you get to play all the instruments. So I wrote a lot of stuff for strings, and I did a lot of setting of poetry for choral pieces, and really started getting intrigued with just the whole combination of words and melody. And so as soon as I finally got out of school, it took me like 7 years to get my bachelor degree, I was just like, that's it. I put my pen down as far as serious composition and notating and stuff, and I just dove into songwriting, and I've been struggling with it ever since.
That's a great, great story. What a timeline there and progression.
Yeah, I'm sorry, it's pretty long, but you know, that is pretty much the journey. You know, I think I definitely got in my way when I was younger because I was so painfully shy. Otherwise, I might have been singing and doing that a lot sooner. I'm a late bloomer.
I don't know. I think it, from what I was hearing in that timeline was that you really had the time to develop a lot of different skills instead of honing in on one, and that has served you in the diversity of what you play and the things you bring to your composition and song performance.
Oh, you know, maybe so. And well, I do know that playing trombone definitely shaped the vocalist that I am. So I'll sit back and I'll go, oh, you know, I should have been where I am, you know, 15 years ago if I just really just jumped on it. But this is kind of the path I've been on. But yeah, I think everything we experience, it all goes into the pot. And, you know, what cooks up and comes up is what we keep in.
Well, I love that you play trombone in amongst all of these other things. Of course, guitar and banjo being string instruments.
Oh, yeah, banjo.
Piano with the fingers and vocals being the voice. And trombone is sort of the one that sticks out there. But, yes, that would teach you a lot about improvisation and phrasing and such for the vocal part.
Yeah, and just breath support in general, you know. Definitely. And it really wound up being my range since I sing alto, you know. And so I sing in the bass clef.
that wonderfully rich sound of yours.
Thanks.
That's part of the joy of listening to you, for sure. So tell us about the players that are on your CD. And I should remind everyone we're speaking with Lisa Markley. And discussing her new release called One Word, which is available on sunasongs.com, and that's SOONA, sunasongs.com. On this release, you're pretty much just, I put that in quotes, singing along with some of the composition and undoubtedly arranging and such. So tell us all about the other folks.
Well, Paul Slavens is on keys. I met him at North Texas in 1984. He was working on his master's in music theory. He had gotten an undergrad in piano, but he was really this rock player too, and this intensely creative guy. We worked at Mama's Pizza together, and so we would close up shop and then drive out to Aubrey, where he was renting this little shack in the middle of North Texas with the scorpions and no indoor plumbing and just this crazy rustic place. And all these musicians would land there and just play music all night, and he really influenced my songwriting a lot, and I was really just starting to let people hear my songs at that point, and he was very encouraging. So it's funny, I always thought of him as being so much older than me, but he's like 2 years older than me, you know, but he's kind of like this big brother, and it's been sort of a lifetime now that we both spent down here in Texas and in our very separate careers, because he definitely went the rock and roll route, but every once in a while we'll touch base, and I'll get him to play me one of his songs. So when I had a chance to do this project, I decided to take the leap and not play any instruments on this one, which I'm such a control freak in the studio over how the groove is and what I like to control it by at least playing what I want to hear. And so to set that loose was really scary, but I like the way Paul's mind works. He's just got this real wonderfully twisted kind of musical sense of humor. And he can finesse just about anything from a classical kind of more like an art song, like When I Was a River, or he definitely does the stride, left-hand stride thing wonderfully. So he's all over this album, and I sing the last song on the album, You Told Me So, is one of his. I sing a couple of his on the previous album.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been collaborating for years. He's just, I idolize him.
As a matter of fact, we were just listening before the end of the hour to someone exactly like you.
Yeah, that's the other one of his. Oh, it was so funny because I was on that one. You know, I cornered him in a rehearsal. I said, come on, play me some of your new stuff. And it was all very pop. And it was like, well, that's nice, but it's another ballad. Or I'm like, oh, come on, you've got something. And it was all this old stuff that I've been hearing. And then he goes, well, I got this one that I kind of worked up a few weeks ago. And it was someone exactly like you. And I just jumped on and I was like, can I do that one? And he very graciously handed that one off to me. So he's been really cool about it.
It's a wonderful song, and you do a wonderful job with it. Absolutely. And then there's your bassist?
The bassist is Bach Wilder Norwood, and he's just a young boy from University of North Texas, you know, 27 or so. He plays with Paul, and when we were talking about the instrumentation for the album, you know, I wrote Paul in and said, you know, you're going to be playing more than two songs. I want you to do more than that, and he didn't quite grasp that I wanted to do all the material. And then he showed up in the studio the first day, and we were working on the stuff that was definitely solo piano, and then he saw that I had like 11 charts, and he's like, wait a minute. We need a bass player. I said, well, I don't know any that I really, that have the time and that we can call at the last minute. And I really wanted somebody that was used to playing with him so it would be more of an ensemble. And he said, well, Bach plays with me at all my improv gigs. And so he wrote Bach in, and they really played off each other amazingly. And those arrangements, the intros and outros and stuff, they just sort of cooked up on the fly, which is just what I love to do, is just to throw musicians in the studio and see what happens when they're just playing around. And you know, I've since had to chart it just so I can get him to play it that way again. The gigs. I'm like, no, do the intro like you did on the album. He goes, oh, I don't remember that. And I have to, like, put the chart in front of him. Okay. But Bach is just, he's tremendous. He's really getting into recording now. He's sort of leaning more towards the engineering side of things. But I think he's gigging quite a bit, too. And he's originally out of Louisiana. But he's just finished his degree, and he's staying in Denton for now, Denton, Texas, which is where the university is. And I guess Jeffrey Barnes is the woodwind player, and he plays in Brave Combo. I don't know if they ever come out there. They're a polka group. They won the Grammy for polka band twice, I believe.
Wow.
He's just a monster. He plays everything. You know, he plays ukulele. He plays, you know, nose flute, for all I know. He could just, you know, he sings. He knows all the obscure intros to, you know, every little song, the verses that, you know, nobody ever hears people sing, and Jeffrey can just sing them all out. And so he definitely was one that I wanted to get in on this project, and both he and Paul were on the previous album, too. So I get them whenever I can, and they're also busy doing their own gigs, especially Jeff. He's on the road quite a bit, that when I can actually rope all three of them in on the same night, it's just, you know, we get a really good turnout that night, because people know we almost never have that full band together.
Well, I wanted to play another song from the CD, and I might mention that this CD is just jam-packed with fabulous, fabulous music. All the songs are wonderful. The performances are wonderful. It's hard to pick, you know, one or two songs, because they're all so good. But there are a couple here that are especially affecting to me. And I wanted to make sure to play those. I wanted to start with One Word, which, of course, is the title track, and it also happens to be another one that you wrote. Tell us a little bit about that before we play.
Well, One Word is special lyrically in that I had run across a book, I think it was called The Voice of the True Peoples. It's a book of poetry by basically the Indios of southern Mexico, the ones that speak the Zapotec language, which I guess is like 70 dialects. And so this book would have all these poets, and they would printed it in the Zapotec dialect that it was written in, and then they had a Spanish translation, and then they had an English translation. And so a number of these poems just blew my mind. So I remember sitting, it was this little taco place, you know, a couple blocks from my house. I live in this great little neighborhood, and so I sat there eating my tacos, copying out these poems by hand, at least in the Spanish and in the English. And the translation of what was the springboard to One Word, it was a very awkward translation into English, and it didn't quite match what I knew of my little bit of Spanish. So I used the English translation as sort of a springboard, and I stretched it, and I added quite a bit, and I altered a lot of their choices of what words they were using. And it eventually became One Word. And I've since looked for the poet. The poet's name is Victor de la Cruz. And I know he's still alive, and he's somewhere down in southern Mexico in a little village. And I've made contact with some publishers that I know publish him, just to see how he, you know, if he would like the song. And so far I haven't been able to find him. So, you know, if anybody finds him out there.
Anybody out there listening tonight knows the whereabouts of poet Victor de la Cruz, give us a call.
and this would be, I'm sure there's lots of Victor de la Cruz's out there. So
specifically the poet.
Yeah, the poet in southern Mexico. So but that's sort of where that song came from. And really all the poems in that book were just so organic, just about that instant, that moment of just pure love right there, you know, and they're really all about the details. And it just, it was a great place to start, which is why I kept the music so minimal. I just wanted it to be sort of a meditation.
Well, it's beautiful, and we're going to listen to that next. We're going to keep Lisa on hold here for a bit while we get to listen to One Word from Lisa Markley here on WSHA 88.9 FM.
Forgotten.
And you're listening to WSHA 88.9 FM. We're talking with multi-instrumentalist, composer, vocalist Lisa Markley from Dallas, Texas. And that was a wonderful, wonderful rendition of One Word, Lisa.
Oh, thanks.
That is a very beautiful song. I was hoping that you might talk to us a little bit about your whole approach to writing songs. You have not only your own songs on this CD and the previous one that are so great, but so many other songwriters, and clearly you are in the loop of that. And I wonder if you talk a little bit about your approach, your technique, and let us in a little bit on the secrets.
Boy, if there were only some good secrets, good reliable secrets that, you know, net a result every time.
Yeah.
You know, what's really kicked my butt the past few years, my husband Bruce, and last time we saw you, we were just engaged, I think, actually, but we got hitched last summer. But when he was up in New York, they had this songwriters group that met once a week, every Monday night, up in Greenwich Village, and the whole premise being that you write a song a week, and you might keep one in ten, and maybe that way by the end of the year you've got 52 songs to choose from, and you really have a quality project that you can record, because you really don't want to keep everything that comes down the pike. And so they would bring it into the group, and you play this half-baked song. Maybe you can barely play it, because it's just raw. I mean, like when Bruce writes it, it might be 5:30 on Monday, and he's cranking out a song. And the running joke in their group is, if it's Monday afternoon, you're going to have to write a country song. There's just not a lot of time. But, you know, so it's just, you got to keep, you know, the wheel turning. And then everybody in the group is really coming at it from a different perspective. And so there's a lot of feedback. And it's not a co-write at all. People will give ideas and opinions. Sometimes it's really cool because you'll get different people in the group arguing opposing viewpoints about your song. And you know, you can blow off all the opinions, but you've certainly got a lot to go home and think about, because you've got all these different perspectives. And if you've got people arguing about your song, you know that you've hit on something. And so that's been a real inspiration. And so when Bruce moved down here to Texas, I decided to start a group up down here. As a matter of fact, it's Monday night, and it's going on in my living room as we speak. Our songwriters group is here. We've got a big pot of pasta going on and a couple bottles of wine. And, you know, Bruce wrote two songs today. And I've been working on one for the past 5 days. And I definitely don't write a song a week. I take my time, and I might come up with a song every 3 weeks if I'm really working, and I'll tweak for a couple of weeks. And often I don't keep them. I mean, I'll keep them in the journals. I'll sing them once for the group, and they may be what I want, or I might just set them aside and harvest them for parts later, you know, kind of Frankenstein them. You know, maybe there's a couple lines I liked, or there's a groove that I liked. For me, the songs I've been happiest with are, well, sometimes they just come out all at once, and they're just kind of born, you know, within a day. And those have almost always been my favorite, and the ones that I still play even if they're 15 years old. But those are definitely, that's some kind of mumbo, not mumbo jumbo, but voodoo, I guess, happening that I just don't quite know how that comes about. Otherwise, you might have a seed, and you might have a seed of music that just puts a picture in your head. Or you might have a seed of a phrase, and they might not even be real words. It just might be the sounds and the shapes of the vowels. And you just have to go with it and start pulling that seed apart. And And if I can have the music and the lyrics growing together and feeding off of each other, I'm happiest. It's easiest. But, you know, sometimes you can take just a melody that's already written and carve the lyrics out to fit it. And that's like a puzzle, and that's a real challenge.
Hmm.
So, you know, there is no one answer except that you have to keep sitting down and pulling at it and poking at it and to forgive yourself and allow yourself to write something that isn't all that great. And you just know that it'll come out later. And if you have to give yourself permission to kind of suck. You really do. And then that's where the good stuff comes from, really. And I find that if I kill my ideas before they're done even hatching because I think they're not very good, you know, then I wind up in a, you know, writer's block. And so that's been my personal demon and my challenge in my musical life is just to let it all come out and then cull it later, you know, edit it later.
Hmm.
So that's sort of, you know, I guess it's not all that concise, but that's kind of how I attack it. And when I'm really stuck, I love to work with somebody else's words. And so that's where I find poetry. Or maybe I'll just read a lot of novels and I'll just try and take a sentence. And that may not be an important part of a song. As a matter of fact, it might be something that winds up not being in a song altogether, but it might just get the ball rolling.
Acts as the inspiration.
Yeah, you know, clever thievery. Really clever thievery, I guess, is really what, you know, the best
kind.
Artists. Yeah, you know, they
it's invisible, it's behind the scenes.
Well, I know some songwriters who will actually take the rhythmic structure of a line, or they'll take a song, syllable for syllable, that they really like, with the accent and the meter and the whole bit, and they'll just write brand new words to go over those rhythms and those accents.
Hmm.
And then they'll alter the music too, but they'll start with the form of a song that they just love and then completely turn it into something different. And so, some people start with a title. You know, it's pretty amazing when you get a group of people together how they start talking about different ways, you know. And we've got a lot of friends that co-write, and they do a lot of that. Bruce and I don't. We don't co-write at all, at least not yet. we're very much into closing our door and you know, working with ourselves.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds as if there are indeed every way to write a song that you are comfortable in approaching the songwriting from every angle, whether it's getting a melody first, hearing the chords, maybe a lyric, or just a concept, just a subject matter that you want to develop, that they're all fair game, and
yeah.
that the secret, if you will, is to give them the time to grow in whatever direction they want to, and not squelch them and not force them.
Exactly. There you go.
Well, there you go. Well, that's wonderful. Well, we should definitely be hearing another one of the songs from your CD. It's one when I first got your CD, I happened to be going in my car, so I put it in the car stereo. And what often happens is that the CD in the car stereo ends up going over and over because I forget to get another one, and so the next trip out and the next trip out, it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
So I heard it once, and I thought, wow, those are, you know, it's a really nice release, you know, sounds really nice. And the next time I was in the car, I heard it again. I thought, boy, you know, I really like this. I ended up hearing it. By the third time, I couldn't stop. I had to just leave it in the car and keep playing it over and over and over again. It's infectious. It's,
oh my God.
It's very... gets underneath your skin, and I guess I said there's just some excellent songwriting on this, and some, as a clearly excellent presentation of it. One of the songs that really was in that category, and I keep hearing in my head a little tape loop on occasion, is "When I Was a River." Tell us about that, and then we have to play it.
Oh, well, that is Steve Carter, who goes by the name of Little Jack Melody. He is another Denton, Texas songwriter. He was a composition student at North Texas when I was there, though we didn't meet then. We kind of met later. And he's got this great kind of cabaret band. At one point, it was like a full big band with an antique harmonium that they would hook up to a trailer and haul around when they would go on tour. And sort of a combination between, like, Kurt Vile, bricked, just craziness. And now he kind of just plays with the trio, and he is just one of the most amazing writers. Like, there may be three writers that I will log online just to read their blogs, just because I would read, you know, if they wrote the ingredients to ketchup, I would read how they wrote it. And Steve Carter is one of those. And he wrote the lyrics to The Sky is Blue and Sometimes Cries off the first album, which Jeffrey wrote the music to. And then When I Was a River, of course, is his entire composition. And there's a version of it online at his website and on his MySpace, that's this full orchestration that he's got going. But he hadn't really put it out and released it officially on an album yet. And so when I called him about this album, I asked him, you know, what songs can I do? And he sent me all of his albums, and I went through everything. And he said, well, I've got this one that's a real challenge to sing. It's just so chromatic, and it's all over the place. And I'm in my head, I had already heard When I Was a River online, and I was like, please let it be that. You know, and it turned out that was the one he was talking about. He sent me a recording of it, and I was just like, well, that has to be it, because it's just the most amazing work. And at this point, I know the label kind of calls me their token jazz artist, but I just think it's about the songs, and whether it's an art song or a pop song or an Americana song, it's just about this combination of melody and poetry, really. And that's what I feel, you know, this really is a poem, even if you don't have the music. And so we changed the key, put it up a minor third so that I could actually hit the notes, and Little Jack wrote it out just with a piano part for Paul. Paul sort of started with that as the ground, and then he definitely expanded on it, especially by the time we got to the third verse, but it's almost more like a classical piece. I was relieved that Steve was happy with the recording when it was done, because I didn't know what he was going to think of what we did, you know, but he was really happy, and it's such a great poem, and I wish I could write like that. You know, that's kind of how I feel. That's when I choose to record a song, it's usually a song that I love so much that I wish I'd written it. You know, I'm jealous, and I'm like, well, at least I can sing it. You know.
nothing small either. So we're going to listen to Lisa Markley from her brand new release, One Word, and this is the composition, When I Was a River.
When I was a river.
And we were listening to Lisa Markley from her new release, One Word, and the beautiful composition, When I Was a River, written by Little Jack Melody, otherwise known as Steve Carter. Just a beautiful song, Lisa.
Yeah. I'm very lucky to have just a wealth of songwriters that are friends, you know, that I can pull from, and including my husband, and it's just I just feel really lucky. I love that I get to find these songs that most people haven't gotten to hear outside of our little North Texas region, because they're just not, you know, I think probably the most well-known songwriter that's on the album really would be Buddy Monlock. He's won Grammys through recordings that Nancy Griffith has done of his material, and that's New Jersey Sunset.
Mm-hmm.
But even he is a friend, and camps with us down at the Gerbil Folk Festival. And so it's just, I know these amazing songwriters, and I've always felt, if I had to just hear an album of only my material, I would get bored. You know, I really don't even have the patience to sit through even my favorite songwriters, to sit through one album of one writer. I really love to mix it up. And so to be able to go and pick and choose and find all these other wonderful songs to sing that I never would have imagined, you know, and it's more about building a really great project with a whole collection of songs, and it's not about them all being by me.
Hmm.
I think that's really important. You know, if I were Paul Simon, you know, maybe it would be different. You know, but I'm not, and I tend to write in so many different genres. You know, I just really like being able to pick and choose, and plus, I get to put my spin on the songs. You know, I definitely have a way that I like to phrase things, and And I do take liberties with melody and phrasing quite a bit. I try to sing the words right. I do mess up usually when I try and memorize, you know. I'll go, oh, I made that plural when it was singular. Oh, no, you know, and it's recorded. Oh, well. And I do my best to really nail the lyrics as best I can, and it's just when I have these senior moments. But I definitely take liberties as far as phrasing.
Well, that's the jazz part, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, and it really, to me, jazz musicianship is the ultimate in musicianship. You know, whether you're a vocalist or an instrumentalist, it's getting all those classical chops, having the chops together to play whatever sprouts into your head, but that's only half of it. The other half is, well, what are you going to take out of your head? You know, what are you going to carve out for a solo? What do you have to say, and why should anybody listen? And are you going to say something that's going to touch somebody? And to be able to do it in a split second, you know, it just come up with all this amazing stuff. And I'm not a great improviser. I think that's why I went the songwriting route, because I do think things through, and it takes me a little longer. I take my time with these things, but I admire it. And so to have musicians play with me that have the chops, the technique down, and yet they've got something to say, and they can do it on a dime, just boom, and they're off in a new direction. I admire that. It's exciting. And so to me, it's the ultimate genre to be singing in. And it's definitely the one I grew up singing. And even though I went for a good 10 years just earning my living doing the folk scene, and I was always singing the jazz, it's just nobody was hearing it. So it's been nice to kind of be able to turn around and now just focus on more of what some people would call jazz.
Yeah. So we've got a couple minutes left. I want to make sure everybody gets a chance to know how they can find you on the Internet.
Well, I have no website as of yet. I do own the URL to lisamartley.com, and the goal is to have a website up this fall. But right now, myspace.com/LisaMarkley, all one word, LisaMarkley. Is a good place to start. I keep my calendar up there. I've got some videos from YouTube that I've posted up there. I am on Facebook, and I'm still noodling with that. I, for some reason, my music wound up on my personal page instead of my music page on Facebook, so go figure. But I can be found, and if they just Google Lisa Markley, there's a page on me at Soon as Songs. But as far as finding my calendar and where I'm playing and when I'm on the road, MySpace is a good place to start. Other than that, Soon as Songs definitely is posting when things are up. They usually post a newsletter every quarter about what's going on with their artists, and that's soonasongs.com, which you had announced earlier. Yeah, and of course I'm playing with my husband as Markley and Balmer, and they can find those links through my MySpace too. And we're sort of a twisted take on the singer-songwriter thing and jazz. And we just have fun, you know, frustrating all the different genres.
And, of course, anyone who happens to be in the Dallas area, Lisa is available as a private teacher. And from what you've been hearing, she's got all kinds of things she can teach you about, that's for sure.
Yeah. A
whole list of wonderful talents.
And I'll be playing at Eno's on July 2nd.
And that's in Dallas.
Yeah, they can look up enospizza.com. Yeah, if anybody out there is listening in the Dallas area.
Well, I hope that somebody's going to walk up to you and say, you know, I heard about this on that North Carolina station, WSHA, when you were talking that Monday night.
So wouldn't that be cool?
Somebody out there, you got to make sure to do that. Well, that's been wonderful to catch up with you, Lisa, and here I've got a bunch of other questions. We just are running out of time.
Oh, well, you know, thank you. This has been such a blast.
We will look forward to the point at which you are back here in the Triangle, and I will make sure that the listeners know about that at whatever point that happens, maybe this fall, maybe next spring. There'll be a chance for another tour through the wonderful Southeast.
Would certainly love it.
And we can catch you again live and in person.
Okay.
And I want to mention to everyone that Lisa was very kind and sent us two copies, actually, of her newest release that we've been playing from, called One Word, out on Sunasongs. So when we're finished with all this, I will let you know that you'll have an opportunity to call in and pick up a copy of this brand new CD. But if you don't manage to get one of those, you can pick it up, as we mentioned, at sunasongs.com.
Yeah, and they do have links to iTunes and Rhapsody and all that stuff, too.
Or Google Lisa Markley, and I'm sure that you'll find on her pages all the ways to obtain this music as well. So to go out, oh, there's so many good choices. You mentioned New Jersey Sunset, You Told Me So, Little Red Adagio. Which one should I play?
Oh, well, you know, I'm really fond of Skylar. Skylar. The standard.
Okay. Well,
I would just love it if you'd play Skylar.
I
don't know. What are you in the mood for?
Well, I was going to say, I like playing the ones that we haven't all heard before.
Oh, well, in that case, Adagio seems to be one that a lot of people like, and one of the songwriters of Adagio is at my house tonight. So.
Really? Well, I've actually played this. They've heard this if they've listened before, but we can surely hear it again.
Okay.
So I have queued up, this is Adagio, and this one's written by, Amy Spies.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Prasada Rao.
Yeah, he's the one that's here tonight.
Rao and
Jagoda.
Jagoda. I was going to say, you need to help me out with these.
I know, aren't they great names? Yeah, Jagoda's a percussionist. He lives up in New York City. He totally rocks.
Well, we're going to get this in before the hour is up. And Lisa, I am so grateful that you've taken the time to talk with us here at WSHA. Thank you so much, and we wish you the very best of luck.
Well, thank you very much. We'll be in touch.
We'll catch up to you in a minute. Here is Lisa Markley, Adagio.